I don't know which mic I'm using. It could be that one, this one. All right. Anyway, my name just became Sarah Alanka Kitashi. Only because you keep hearing about the NSA and all the data mining. They're probably data mining this audio. Some people could call me an alias like Peter Friedman, but I'll go by Sarah Alanka Kitashi. We're here to talk about Amazon or the Amazon law, and we're here to talk about sales tax. The Amazon law, there are really two Amazon laws. One was promoted by New York, and the other was promoted by Colorado. And the difference between the two was very simple. New York said, you, Amazon, have affiliates in our state. If you have an affiliate in our state and a New York resident clicks on that link of that affiliate to order some product on the Amazon website, you are doing business in our state, and therefore you're going to have, you owe us New York State sales tax or use tax. And for this conversation, really, sales tax, use tax, just assume it's the same, because pretty much it is. So Amazon did not like that. New York was the first one that came across. Amazon said, well, we disagree with you. New York, being New York, said, we don't care. Pay us our money. New York also did not realize that now all New York residents now are going to be charged sales tax. Why do you shop online so you don't pay sales tax? It's cheaper if you don't pay sales tax. New York said, no, you'll pay sales tax. So they weren't looking at the New York residents. They were just looking at how much sales tax they felt they were losing. Showing my age, this is kind of like the argument that was in regards to catalog companies, where the catalog companies would fluctuate and you would buy goods off of catalog and they would never do sales tax. So New York basically said, we don't really care for this. Amazon said, this is unconstitutional. We have the 14th Amendment. You don't have due process. Well, all the people that basically, all their affiliates basically are in New York. So the court ruled that yes, you there is, through the affiliates, you have nexus. So therefore, New York can do whatever they want. So Amazon said, well, this is discriminatory. And New York pretty much said, well, not really, because if you were in a brick and mortar in New York, we would collect sales tax. So we're equating you to brick and mortar in New York. So, you know, we're going to have sales tax charged. Now, the big thing that every other state saw was that Amazon lost. And all of a sudden, all this money that is being generated by Amazon but is not sales taxable, all these states are saying, we are owed sales tax. In fact, Texas was really great. I love Texas. Texas basically sent a bill to Amazon and said, hi, you know, we kind of like New York for once. Which is very rare for a Texan to admit that. You know, it's the East-West thing, I think. And said, we like their concept. You owe us $260 million. Now, where did Texas get this number? It's a nice number. Come on, you know. Actually, it was 269. I always said they had a 2 and then somebody was a sexual issue and basically, but it was Texas. Texas basically, Amazon said, well, we disagree with you. Texas said, we're like New York. We got a lot of transplants. We don't care. Pay us our money. Texas cut a deal. And this is really what this is going to be coming about, is that there was a deal. States are cutting deals to basically bring in jobs, but also to basically charge sales tax to internet sales. So Texas cut their deal. It was a cute deal. They're going to build, Amazon agreed that they were going to generate 2,500 jobs in the state of Texas. They're going to spend $200 million on a new distribution center in Texas. And Texas would forgive the $269 million invoice that they issued, which God knows where it came from. But we also have Colorado. Colorado, after they passed the medical marijuana law, created a new sales tax issue and said, we don't believe in this affiliate thing. We think that you, Amazon, should send us notification of who in Colorado sold and bought through your website. So you, Amazon, notify us, and we, the state, are then going to notify the end users. Amazon didn't care for that, but they kind of liked that because they weren't going to collect sales tax, so they didn't care. Of course, the Colorado residents would have to pay sales tax, but who cares, you know? Colorado was looking for sales tax money. And literally, all this is now about generating money for a state. Colorado's law actually went to the federal court and was overturned as unconstitutional because they were making Amazon, an out-of-state company, do more than what an in-state company had to do. So therefore, it was determined that it was discriminatory. So what we call baby Amazon got thrown out in the basket. But, you know, we're still having fun and games. The federal government decided to jump in. Why did the federal government decide to jump in? Because they had nothing better to do. So in the 112th Congress, which is not this Congress, it was last Congress, they created the Marketplace Fairness Act. If anybody's read that act, that is probably the most vicious act to the United States consumer I've ever read in my life. And to small business, because small business, there was no exception. That failed. That never got out of committee. Congress being Congress said, we're going to go at it again. We're going to do it in the 113th. There is a new Marketplace Fairness Act, but it's different now. First of all, there's something called the State Streamlined Sales Tax Project. That's been going on for the last 10, 15 years, which basically the states are saying, we don't like you, the federal government. Me, I don't like taxation. The states don't like the feds. They said, Europe has a better idea. Europe created something called the VAT Amendment 6, which came about in 1996, which said, we don't care about physical presence, which is what the Quill case in the United States says. You have to have physical presence in a state to basically charge that state income. Basically, Europe said, no, it's not where the manufacturer, where the services originate, it's where the end user is. That's where the taxation has to occur. The states all grabbed this. They said, this is the greatest thing since Melba toast. This is magnificent. That means that anywhere, any state can have a manufacturer or some type of service organization, but if you sell to our resident, we get to collect sales tax, which means we pay more. They've been doing this. They've gotten 18 states. They've met their requirements. They just can't get a federal statute in place to implement this, which is what they need because it's interstate, not intrastate. The federal government, 113, said, well, the 112 failed, but you know what? There are enough states that have joined this project that we're going to wrap the two projects together. So that way, if your state has already agreed under this group, you have to vote yes, you know. So they wrapped it together and they basically said, okay, and we're now going to talk about companies. If you as a company, a small business, have done $1 million in sales, $1 million in sales anywhere, and you do $500,000 in sales outside your primary state, you now are liable to file sales tax in every state. Go ahead.
Is that history of the company or year to year?
It's last year you have to hit a million, and then therefore once you hit a million next year, you're in forever.
So if you always stay at 900,000, you know, $1 short of a million, you just write it forever.
Yeah, but as an accountant, I basically say you need at least 5% growth or else you're in trouble. Economically speaking, just from inflation, your gross profit margin, you know. And we're assuming that everybody reports their sales. As the faces are going, yeah, sure, right. Okay. Yes?
My question for
I have no idea.
Yeah, hold on one moment.
Are we on?
Good
enough. Yep.
Yes.
Hmm? Maybe?
Maybe.
Could be.
Is it working now? Okay. Oh, good. There. So my question was, for considering where the sales resident is that based off of the shipping address or where the purchase was originated from?
Oh, good. We talk about geopolitical visa cards.
Because could I not just set my IP address to Sweden and then make a purchase there and then not have to qualify for sales tax because I did not make the purchase in the United States?
That's fun. Because first of all, the shipping address really doesn't count anymore, because under the SSTP, it's actually the address of the credit card. So therefore, you could say you're in Latvia, but if your credit card is registered in Atlanta, Georgia, then they have to charge you Georgia sales tax.
So all I have to do is now re-register my credit card into Latvia.
So. Right, you would have to do. Personally, having people actually as clients in Latvia, you don't want to register in Latvia. I just want a hypothetical. Just bring that. Not a good country to drop kick in, but you know, yeah. I mean, Malaysia's another. Well, I'm in trouble now.
Australia.
Australia's nice. Australia's cute. Australia basically will hit you with a VAT tax, so who cares? There's, you know, you got to pick a country. Don't go to India anymore. India now has a VAT tax. Used to be India didn't have a VAT tax. Don't register your credit cards. And somebody came up last year and said, I'm going to register all my credit cards in India. I have family there. I'll never pay a sales tax. I said, yeah, but you got a VAT tax now. So, and it's higher than the sales tax in the state that he was living in. I said, maybe, I don't know. You know. Anyway.
So you used to find the Eastern European country without the sales tax and register your credit card there.
Right. And. Canada actually has VAT tax. Croatia has VAT tax. The issue is, if they have a VAT tax, pay your sales tax.
Mexico?
I don't know if you really... Do you really want to register? I mean, I'm not too sure you're going to have much of a credit card left after that. They have tremendous identity theft in Mexico. Unless you can, you know... I mean, I've been on boards where there are engineers, and they basically tell, oh, you can protect yourself. You can protect yourself. I'm under this philosophy. You really can't protect yourself. I don't know why. Yes, sir? There's three states. Yeah, but you would also have to have a chip there. So let's say you lived in Georgia, and you had an Oregon address. So you have it shipped in there. You don't have a sales tax in Oregon. I appreciate that. I agree with you. But then you're going to take the shipping costs, you know, the turnaround shipping costs, because they can't drop ship it. So they're going to take it from Oregon. You're going to ship it back to Atlanta. I don't know. The sales tax versus the shipping costs?
Well, no, because you said your shipping address is different than the payment.
Right, but Amazon basically will not really drop ship. I mean, we're talking Amazon as an example. So Amazon doesn't really drop ship. Yes, if you go to a company and they're really willing to drop ship, absolutely. But then you're going to have to understand you have a credit card issued, not issued, you have an address there. So therefore, theoretically, you have a bank account there. I mean, I know internet banking, it's a lot easier, but it's also a pain in the ass. Right. But they're going
to
charge sales tax based on where the credit card is.
What is dropship?
A dropship is that if I say to you, if I'm Amazon, so, and I say, you come to me and you say, hi, I live in Atlanta, but I want you to ship it to New York because it's a gift. That term is classified as drop shipping, okay? Because it's not going to you directly, it's going to this New York address. Okay?
So it's a gift check for it, doesn't do anything?
No, not really. No.
Sir?
Yes. Sir, how did I become sir? It's an age thing. I used to have hair. I mean, go ahead. Okay. Okay.
Coinstar. I get my coins, I get this code for Amazon. But they charge sales tax? There's no address on that code.
Yes.
So they'll charge sales tax if you get the shipping instead.
Mm-hmm. So geopolitical location is pretty much wherever it's being paid. Coinstar basically they'll default to your shipping address. They have to be able. You see, it's not an Amazon problem. It's a state problem because the state's going to go in to Amazon and say, okay, you shipped these goods to this person. Why didn't you collect sales tax? They can't come back and say, well, we didn't have an address. You know, geopolitical failed. You know, they're going to sit there and say, no. There's a ladder. First is, where's your credit card? Second is, where you ship? If you can't tell me where your credit card is, it's going to be where you ship. Okay? Third is, if you can't tell me what your credit card is, you don't know where it ships. Third, you get a 10% penalty, Amazon. You pay the 10% penalty, and we're going to charge you whatever we want to charge you. And we're going to contact every state and say, that shipment gets charged to every state. It's an issue that what used to be internet sales, let me rephrase. I used to buy a lot of goods because I live in New York. And I would sit there and say, okay, I'm going to buy it because A, I could usually get it cheaper if I bought it in a different state, and B, the shipping costs never equal what I had to pay in sales tax. And I am not a now person. It's not like, oh, the book came out, I have to have it today. I really can wait a week because something's going to come up before I can read it. All right. I respect that there are now people that the newest book comes out, the newest gadget comes out, they must have it immediately. All right. Internet sales don't really work well for them. But if you have a little patience, you can ship, you know, shopper. I mean, when I lived in New Hampshire, I saved $5,000 on my generator. You know, I had to ship from Texas, New Hampshire. And neither state has sales tax. You know, and the New Hampshire guy just couldn't basically beat the price. Yes? That's why I'm saying sales and use tax is the equivalent. Well, okay, but there are only seven states that have on their income tax return a common called use tax now. Before, it never existed. It's only recently been coming. More and more states are putting it. You are supposed to declare your use tax. I, as an accountant, when I prepare returns, I ask the question, do you have anything to declare on use tax? I don't know. You know, if my client tells me no, I'm going to put down no. The state does not have the resources to really do an audit. But they do have the resources to go to Amazon and say, who did you ship into our state? Yeah. Oh well, that's a little different. Yeah, but at $20,000 worth of equipment, if you're buying $20,000, it's for a business, right? Business tax return is different than an individual tax return, and I would declare it anyway because it's the cost of the business, and then I could write it off immediately. Ah, okay. So, yeah, use tax should be declared, but most people don't. You know. So. Getting, yeah.
Question. Take, for example, some of the vendors that are in the DragonCon dealers room.
Right.
They are based here.
Yes.
Well, actually, let me say, they're based in New Hampshire, tax-free area.
Yes.
They're doing all their inventory and all their sales and transactions on their tablet.
Yes.
They track their inventory.
Yes.
Technically, in theory, they really didn't leave their point of origin.
Yes, go ahead. Absolutely. Absolutely. Not even a question. There is actually actually every state has a convention law which says that if you come into this state and you enter into an agreement with somebody in this state and you have a transaction within this state, you owe us sales tax. Period. It's real I mean, the worst case was in Canada, somebody basically sold an airline and they were selling airlines. Canada demanded VAT tax. Guy only showed up for one day at a convention. States all loved it. Yes, ma'am.
So how would they know? So if you are a merchant, and I'm in payments, by the way. So if you're a merchant and you have a virtual terminal and you also have a mobile terminal, it's all functioning off of the same merchant, IP, same whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you're running transactions back in New Hampshire and you're down here at a convention running. How would you be able, how would anybody be able to enforce and say this percentage was from the convention and this percentage was from what was happening up in New Hampshire?
So you're based, so we're saying how would, not the person, how would the state?
Yes.
How would the state, right, not a person. No, you don't even have to do that. First of all, if you take a look at the cute little paper book, right, mm-hmm. which lists vendors, you're listed as a vendor. So right away, the state then has the authority and the ability to contact you and say, we want to see all your transactions from this period to this period. And if it has a Georgia address, they make the presumption that it was sold in Georgia and therefore that you owe them sales tax.
So technically, if I was going to skirt around it, just hypothetically.
Hypothetically,
if I was going to skirt around it, I could sit there and say, okay, as the vendor here, let's say I processed, $30,000 worth of transactions, and I know as a vendor that only 10,000 of them were from actual Georgia residents. I could theoretically then say, well, the other 20,000 happened in my New Hampshire, portion mm-hmm. of my business.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my question is, they have no way to audit that, right?
Yes, they do.
They actually can audit it?
Oh, yeah. Because they'll sit there. You see, the issue is you're going to sit there and say, okay, the 20,000, ignoring your price point, right? All they do is send a letter out to all the 20,000, and they basically say, we have a record that you bought this good. We would like to know, where did you buy it? All right? Now, as a consumer, I'm sitting there saying, bought it at Dragon Con. Where else would I buy it? I mean, come on. It's this cute little dragon, and it has a little medal, and mm-hmm. it has a little cute little buttons on it, and, it flashes neon light that says, Go Dragon Con 2013. Of course, where did I buy it? I bought it in Atlanta. And then basically, and it's responded. And basically, then they go back to you and say, the 20,000? Well, we didn't get 100%, but we got 12%. And 12% said they bought that amount in that state. Therefore, we think all 20,000 did not come from New Hampshire. It came from us. Therefore, please pay us our money and have a fine. Yes?
I would say if you really want to, I would VPN back to your New Hampshire server. So it was listed as the New Hampshire IP address on the charge, and then only use cash.
Well, I mean, first of all, as a merchant, okay, to all of a sudden sit there at a convention and say, we only take cash, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of iffy. First of all, you're going to be cutting a batch of your product, so to speak, but usually credit cards.
Select shipping.
Okay.
I have a creative solution if you tell me it's valid.
Sure.
I have an evil creative solution to see if this is valid. You become one of those nice little floating businesses that provide ATM services, since you take cash only, but your own personal ATM is right over on the table over there, so people could swipe the card, get their cash out, and then hand you the cash for the transaction.
So when you get the letter from Georgia saying, hi, how are you? We know you're a vendor because we know that you paid and we have record from DragonCon that you were a vendor. Please give us a listing of all your sales. And you say, I had no sales, I just showed up, but I had my ATM here.
I was making $2 on the ATM. That's all I was doing here.
And that, by the way, that and that, and you'll report that as sales tax.
Wait, so it's a service fee that you still have
it's
to pay.
It's a service fee paid because of a tangible asset purchase.
Okay,
assuming you're selling a tangible asset.
No, I'm giving them cash. That's not a tangible asset.
Well, under the banking code, did you register as an MSB?
Well, if you're providing one, you know, you can buy those little roll around or sit on the counter ATM machines.
Right.
You're filling it up. You get a $2 premium, which is cheaper than any other ATM in this goddamn place.
And you have to register where you're going to use it.
You have to register where you're going to use it?
Yeah. I mean, the little rolling cute little things, yeah, you stock it up with money.
Yeah, it looks like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, very cute. Yeah, they now require you register where you're going
to
use it.
So you can, I know a company that actually provides a service of providing it to conventions since so many ATMs at the hotels run out of money.
God
and
forbid.
They get,
go ahead.
Six machines in the three hotels here are already on money.
Oh, I believe you. I'm
and
not disputing.
After all this time, no one's ever bothered to warn these guys that Brink should refill.
I'm sure nobody also warned the guys that are basically buying the bringing these little machines in that they're sales tax issues.
Okay, so it's not easier to spend give the sales tax on the $2.
No, it's not happily give the sales tax on $2. It's happily gives the sales tax on $2 and create a record that the state then can come in and start tracing the transaction and say to you, okay, you, because you are now the intermediary, the PayPal, so to speak, you're the intermediary, and we sit there and say to you, state of Georgia, okay, you generated X amount of dollars of fees in the state, okay, but you're an intermediary, right? Therefore, as an intermediator under Georgia tax law, you're required to pay sales tax.
I have no problem paying sales tax.
No, not on your service fee.
Wait, so someone takes $100 out of the ATM.
Right.
I got to pay sales tax.
You have to know where that $100 went.
Wait, you mean to tell me this ATM machine has to have a camera here and follow the first employee around?
ATM machines here, okay? When you take money, if somebody comes in with a credit card,
right
and it's located, and it's a hotel ATM,
right?
Okay, it basically goes into the hotel fund, and it gets exempted out. So they list it as a gross sale, they list out $100, they list out the $98 as a non-taxable transaction, and they pay tax on $2. You are going to have to do the same thing. How do you know that it's a non-taxable transaction? Georgia will come and say, how do you know it's a non-taxable transaction?
I'm just providing the service for the convenience of the attendees.
You can't. Those days are gone. Those days of saying, oh, wait, you know, not my job. You know, anybody remember Sergeant Schultz?
Maybe. I know nothing. I hear nothing. I see nothing.
It's an age
but
thing,
I could be
folks.
Bribed.
Right. It's an age thing. My dentist did that to me, you know, the poor little dental hygienist
If someone has a roll away or roll in ATM business,
right.
They actually have to be accountable for all the money that
yes.
comes out.
Same thing with PayPal. That's why PayPal basically is jumping up and down, because the law says if you do a transaction through PayPal, PayPal said, all we're doing is we're collecting fees.
Right.
We have fees. We don't care what the transaction is. And the IRS and basically every state has been sitting there saying, excuse me, you are a processor. You know what the transaction is. Or you have a reasonable belief you know what the transaction is. It is your responsibility to collect sales tax.
So it's my reasonable... I'm sorry.
But if there's all these different people, all these different vendors out, how can you bear the burden of knowing where that cash...
Because the state has to pick on somebody, right? The state has to sit there and pick on somebody to sit there and say, there is no anonymous transaction. There's a transaction here. Somebody took $100 out. And he took $100 off, not from the hotel, but from a vending machine that happens to be in the exhibit hall of the convention center where you buy goods.
What if it's not in the exhibit hall of the convention center?
That could be an argument.
And your example is this is a state fair where it's a temporary event on the fairgrounds. They have a company that comes in and rolls out their ATM machines. So I got to collect tax on the guy who sold the waffle fries over there, the Ferris wheel over there, and they're already collecting tax on.
It is your responsibility to refute it.
Oh,
it is not the state. The state's responsibility is going to say, you walked in with $100,000 in your machine. I don't think they could fit that much, but whatever. And you now have to tell us how much is taxable, how much is not. You say 100% is not taxable, they'll have a field day on you.
So what I'm noticing Amazon is doing now, I live in North Carolina, and I think right now I can still order things, quote unquote, tax-free.
Yes.
But what they're doing is I get a letter that says, you as a customer have ordered this much merchandise, let's say over the past year, $300, you may need to report this on your tax return and pay sales tax.
Yes.
So my question is, am I obligated to do that? If I don't have a law in my state, can I just shred that letter, or do I actually need to do something about it, or is it even reported to North Carolina?
Well, first of all, North Carolina, there's a
and this is true for anybody who may be in a state where you get those mysterious letters of, hey.
There's a sales tax and a use tax. A sales tax is directly charged to you in your state by a state store or an online store that has a physical presence in your state. A use tax is a voluntary tax equivalent to the sales tax that you as a citizen and resident of that state are required by statute to pay. So there is a law in North Carolina that says, hi, how are you? If you didn't pay sales tax, and it's subject to sales tax, you have to pay a use tax. Okay? When Amazon gives you that letter, before you tear it up, you have to, I would call Amazon and say, and by the way, did you happen to send this to the Department of Taxation in North Carolina? If they come back and say, of course we did, I would sit there and say, fill out a use tax form, because, you know, these are all computer-aided generated forms now. Go ahead. She has the mic. Don't look at me. I have a toy. Aha.
Okay. So, from the way I understand it, you are saying the online merchant has a responsibility to track where the purchaser is located and pay the equivalent sales tax for the purchaser. What if the online merchant, because there are several like online services that do this, is the priority is the anonymous sending of purchased goods. So they will use an external source, like PayPal or whatever, to, you know, process the shipment or like a fulfillment center.
Bad example of PayPal. Give me another one. You want to do Bitcoin?
Sure.
All right, let's use Bitcoin. I was on the Bitcoin panel, by the way.
Well, I'm just having a hard time understanding why an online merchant should or is required to have a responsibility to track its users and pay the sales tax by, like, it seems like it's not a responsibility of the online merchant. It seems a bit ridiculous to expect the online merchant to keep tabs on all of the processes and try and figure out which sales tax, how much, like, what percentage goes to what. Mm-hmm. And that's not only a very burdensome, like, overhead to track all that, yeah. I also think it is, I'm not sure if there's a law that requires them to keep track of that either.
Okay.
What if they delete the records and they're just, we don't have records?
Okay, let's discuss deleting records. let's discuss. This is being taped. Oh, God. Okay. No. First of all, under federal law, forget state law, under federal law, you have to keep documents that justify your business transactions for 7 years. So you're not shredding documents. This is how Enron basically got, you know, shades of Enron. Oh, God. So you're not destroying records, okay? But this, your argument was Amazon's argument. Amazon said, we do not have a physical presence in your state. All we have are affiliates. And New York State and 13 other states pretty much said, an affiliate that basically takes a transaction, okay, as a taxable sale in our state. So yes, Amazon, it is your responsibility, okay? If you go and, I mean, this used to be what we used to tell people is, you want to do online business? Well, find a state that doesn't have sales tax and make sure that your servers are located in that state, and make sure that you have told your ISPs that only servers in that state of the server farm, you can only use servers in states that don't have sales tax. But as soon as you get into the affiliation program, where you have somebody that basically puts your site on their website and they basically click to get to your website to order goods, pretty much by determination, you have actually created a physical presence in that state. And therefore, it is your responsibility to pay sales tax in that state. There are de minimis rules. As I said, you have to have done $1 million in a previous year, and you have to then do $500,000 online, and then that $500,000 could be anywhere. It's not specific state. Then yes, you will pay sales tax. You will be required to create software that will pay sales tax. That is why the Marketplace Fairness Act is not fair, because the compliance costs of paying sales tax for a small business versus an Amazon is absurd. Also, you don't have the ability to do, I mean, I'll go through these before we leave just as a joke, of how many deals Amazon has cut to basically not pay sales tax in a state. One of them I love. Let's see, Kentucky. Kentucky basically says that they're going to get a distribution center, and for that distribution center, Amazon's gotten 5 years exemption for sales tax. That was the deal. Tennessee, I would love to talk about the Tennessee deal, only because it's such a great deal. The deal has to be so bad, but this is the deal as officially under the Department of Revenue, Tennessee. Tennessee stated that they have made a deal that Amazon is going to create 2,500 jobs in the state. They're going to spend $200 million on a new distribution center. And Tennessee refuses to state what they gave up for this because it's confidential, and they signed a confidential agreement and they will not violate it. So it could be 20 years exemption, who knows?
The duration of the building.
Yes.
I
mean, it's just great how a Department of Taxation can sit there and tell their residents, saying, we cut a deal, and we're not going to tell you. Go ahead, yes.
Sir, I was just wondering, this law happens to all online retailers, am I correct?
It's called the Amazon law because it was based specifically aimed for Amazon, but it is applicable to all online retailers or online businesses.
Yes. Understood. Okay, and then my question is, would you pay double the sales tax if I used a PayPal service as well using on Amazon? Would I pay two sales tax because they're both service?
No, what PayPal would do then is they would say that we're going to default to the Amazon. Okay, that basically we're basically creating this for Amazon. Amazon will basically have a sales tax aspect. Now, understand that if you pay sales tax to a different state, your state isn't going to charge you, because you're going to sit there and say it's an out-of-state sale, so I don't care about this, you know. And your state will say that, you know, they don't care.
So what about like Miss Sarah's service with masking your credit card when you're checking out?
Because
the only way I can think of that they're doing that is that you give them the money, and then they have a giant corporate card that they use for everyone else's payments.
But they still have a geolocale. So you'll pay wherever they're located, you'll pay their sales tax. I mean, you can hunt for location, but I'm not sure you're going to win on that one. Yes.
I wanted to talk a quick minute about services. They haven't quite gotten to the phase that I'm aware of where, for example, if you're doing like an online game where you're charging like a monthly fee, they're not doing tax on that yet. But is there anything in the law that eventually going to turn into a VAT where it'll tax services as well?
Well, first of all, if World of Warcraft, okay, can
services,
I use
digital downloads?
Digital downloads are not what he's referring to. Digital downloads is a distribution aspect. A digital download is just distribution. If you basically have a software and you basically digitally download it to a state, then that, based on where that digital download is located, okay, that's a sales tax event. Because software is a tangible piece of goods, all right? So that really is not an issue.
But an online service, like he was saying.
Well, we're talking like World of War. I'm asking like a World of Warcraft type of thing. Okay, World of Warcraft in the EU files VAT taxes, okay? Because VAT tax is Europe's equivalent of sales tax. So they pretty much covered that. U.S. government, what is happening is that, yes, we are creating our own VAT tax, but not joining the VAT tax system. So, yes, at a point in time, yes, there will be sales taxes. There are certain states that actually ask for sales tax.
On services.
My question is a physical event, but tickets are being sold online. Take, for example, I'll use this type of a convention.
Yeah.
The convention is happening in a no sales tax state. The tickets are being sold online. They're getting a confirmation online. They come to the event that's in a non-sales tax state.
This is a sales tax state. I'm confused.
No, I'm not using Georgia. Let's say New. I have.
Oh, not
I
this convention. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I have a convention.
Too many beers.
I'm gonna. You didn't share with us.
Yeah. Yes, I did. I shared yesterday.
That's right. You did
you
last
owed
night.
Me one,
yeah.
By the way.
I'll take me up on it after.
Okay.
But realistic situation, not hypothetical. Having an event in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
Selling tickets online. Anywhere in the world, anybody can buy a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
They get a confirmation number online. No download, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
When they show up to the event in mm-hmm. New Hampshire, mm-hmm. they actually get they get their badge to attend.
Right.
Taxable.
If New Hampshire is a bad example, only because I actually live there, and
okay.
I know the New Hampshire actually has a convention tax. But if it did not have a convention tax or amusement tax, then there would be no sales tax because the state, i.e., the location of the state, New Hampshire,
okay.
does not impose a sales tax. Just like if you were in New Hampshire and you were buying a ticket for Dragon Con.
Right.
Okay. Theoretically, there's a Georgia sales tax, and therefore you would pay a Georgia sales tax when you bought it.
Even though it was...
Even though I live in New Hampshire.
Okay.
Because I'm using the DragonCon Georgia website.
What methods are in law to, like, regulate international sellers that ship to the United States then? Because it seems then they would have an advantage because it's very difficult or impossible to regulate, make them pay sales tax to a specific states.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like they would have an advantage on United States-based, you know, Amazon, because mm-hmm. they would sell stuff and not have to pay sales tax.
Right.
And shipping is getting cheaper and cheaper, so shipping from, like, China or whatever is, you know.
Well, I mean, if you basically take a look at shipping, it depends on the price of the item. Because between shipping and customs, you could pretty much hit sales tax. But there is no way to monitor at this moment a sales tax issue. But the states are going to sit there and say, you as a U.S. resident have a legal obligation to make a payment as a use tax. Because theoretically, it's either you're going to pay A or B on a tangible good, and software downloading is now classified as tangible. And I'm not going to go into that. That's a whole different scope that we could get into. We could be here for hours on that one. So, internet, it is not a fairness. You see that? I mean, the issue is if we're going to do this, we should join the VAT system. If the government's going to make us do this, the states are going to make us do this, we should join the VAT, because then the VAT system is an international system. I mean, even India reports to England. I mean, it's one system. We, the United States, don't like that because it would mean that the states would have to have a uniform sales tax code all across the country, and every state basically considers their sales tax or non-sales tax as sacrosanct.
So why not like fair taxes?
The feds will never be able to push a uniform sales tax code. Even the states won't agree to it. Yeah.
So one of the things I've read is part of why Amazon's striking all these deals with the different states is to try and get ahead of the federal government from implementing any kind of enforcement around online sales tax. If the government was able to do something, theoretically, would Amazon's deals still apply?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, but I would disagree with that. I mean, that's Amazon's statement. We're being nice because we know the federal government's going to pass. Okay. I pretty much think that pretty much Amazon got caught in a vice. Because what Amazon did was to help distribution out, they created distribution centers. They then basically went to every state and said, hi, we're Amazon, and the distribution center is over here, and our retail operation is over here, and just because we have a distribution center in your state doesn't mean we have a physical location in your state. And, you know, the states didn't really buy it. You know, and that's why Amazon's cutting all these deals, because the states pretty much have come back and said, we're not buying it anymore. There was a case that was called the Barnes & Noble case in California, where basically Barnes & Noble had this cute little location, you know, all these little Barnes & Nobles all over California, and they would also have Barnes & Noble's online books. And what Barnes & Noble said was, we Barnes & Noble online books are not affiliated with Barnes & Noble. So therefore, when we send books into California, we don't have to charge sales tax. But if you went to a store, you would have to pay sales tax. And California said, this sounds really great except for one problem. If you bought a book online in California and you wanted to return it, you could then go to a Barnes & Noble store in California and give it back. And Barnes & Noble would give you back your money. And so Barnes & Noble, California said, not really. I mean, if they're so separate, why are they basically taking back goods that don't belong to them? Whereupon Barnes & Noble kind of went hubba, 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 and basically, you know, and sat there and said, and I guess we owe you sales tax. You can't inventory transfer between two unrelated parties.
It's a gift.
Nah, you can't give. Doesn't work. So from a commercial standpoint, Amazon pretty much, when New York passed their law, pretty much all the people that had distribution centers in it started to look at it and say, sooner or later, sales tax is going to be charged. We want to get in ahead. I mean, South Carolina basically cut a deal. I love South Carolina. You know, they cut the deal, 2,000 jobs, one distribution center, and for 5 years, Amazon doesn't have to pay sales tax. We have a batch of these. These are.
Build the distribution center every 5 years?
No. Oh, California basically was even better. California says you owe us money, but we'll give you a 1 year delay. And by the way, you know the distribution center? You're going to build that too, aren't you? And California, you know, Amazon said, oh, yes, absolutely.
So when those deals end, I'm pretty sure Amazon would try to extend them, wouldn't they?
I'm sure Amazon is going to try and extend this as much as they'll go basically to a state that they've cut a deal, and after the deal's over, they'll go and say, they're not going to say we're going to pull our distribution center, because they tried that in Pennsylvania, and Pennsylvania basically said, well, go ahead, we don't care, you owe us a ton of sales tax. We'll make it up that way. So what they'll do is they'll say, we'll put another distribution center in, you know, and we'll get another five-year exemption. I mean, Colorado pretty much was the only, Colorado was the one that had the unconstitutional law, And Amazon basically terminated all their affiliates. So they kept processing legally. They won, but there are no Colorado Amazon affiliates in the state anymore. Overstock, another large entity. I mean, Overstock lost like Amazon did in New York. Amazon literally said to New York, we're going to pull all our affiliates. There is a theoretical record that the commission of the Department of Taxation broke out in total hysterical laughter, saying, go for it. You know, we represent 10% of your business model. You know, cut us out. We don't care. Overstock basically said, they pulled out of the state entirely. And they also basically lost about 12% of their business. Their gross revenue.
All right, so we've all had fun asking our questions. Now what's the solution?
I mean, the solution is that the law is not fair to small business. That's not the solution. That's really a factual statement. The law as it's being promoted is not fair. You can't equate small business to an Amazon or an Overstock. My statement is the same pretty much as I make with, you know, the other committees. You have to become politically active. You have to, you know, now we're mostly, we were talking about, you know, talk to your state legislature. No, go to your federal representatives and say, how you're drafting this law is absurd. Where did you come up with this $1 million? Where did you come up with this $500,000? You know, why not make it, if I do $10 million, you know, 1 year, then I have to start looking at this. Because if I'm making $10 million, at least then I can afford the compliance cost of doing this. I mean, the compliance cost of putting a geopolitical tracking software could cost potentially over $100,000 to $200,000. So a company that basically does $1 million online, to then all of a sudden sit there and basically eat $200,000 to pay for sales tax on a unified basis, which the states haven't unified at one rate. I mean, I can see if, okay, I'm doing it in the states. Here's all the states, here's all the sales tax, here's one rate. You guys figure it out. You know, you guys, let me send it to someone. There's 352 sales tax jurisdictions in the United States. It's not 50, it's 352, and it's growing. You know, we have Atlanta sales tax, you got a Georgia sales tax, you got a Macon sales tax. Go through the list and figure how many states. New York is absurd. You know, I think New York has almost 60.
I know, every year in Georgia, they update the official list of what the sales tax is in every single county, and so like it can be completely different from year to year.
It is. It is, and it goes up and down. So that means that besides buying the software, you're also buying the maintenance fee, so that you basically always have your software updated, having the realistic rates. You know. Yes, sir. Speak loudly, or basically wait for the mic.
So you mentioned the Bitcoin thing earlier. Would a trackable currency like that help alleviate the problems of monitoring where all this currency exchanges and goes to?
Theoretically, Bitcoin's not traceable. I say theoretically, okay? And somebody better not bring up Tor, because I'll kill somebody on it. Tor. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, the issue is you do a business, you have you are required to report income. No. Don't pick on my name. Don't start.
That's my name.
Well, that's okay.
It's part of his name now.
It's not part of mine. You missed it. You lost it. What do you want, a royalty rate? Yep. Jesus. Yes, sir.
So what about Tor? No, I'm kidding. But so
biggest
okay.
Fight I had all the entire con. Go ahead.
Well, I guess I was thinking we were looking at ways to get around it in. What about like if you go and you buy the, Visa cards out of prepaid Visa cards out of the, you know, Kroger or whatever, and you use that? Those don't.
You pay sales tax on that credit card. So.
Do you?
It's calculating the total.
$4.95 for an activation.
Yeah, for an activation fee.
Well,
then it's just like using a credit card.
You walk into CVS downstairs, no sales tax on it.
Yeah.
Well, like their company's online in other countries.
Well, is there sales tax that you as the customer don't see, but the company is actually pulling out?
Yes.
No.
That can be if I'm buying a $100 card and there's a $4.95 fee on it.
And it rings up at CVS for $104.95,
mm-hmm.
and I could use a whole $100 of that.
Mm-hmm. There's a sale. There's an inherent sales tax in the card. I mean, have you ever noticed that when you buy something? Well, have you ever noticed something when you buy something? And you're buying something, and you know there's sales tax in your state, you went down, and you're being charged $9.95, right? And there's no sales tax charge. It's because the company, basically, that's charging you is eating the sales tax. Theoretically, they're supposed to tell you and publicize that sales tax is included in the price, but they don't. Well, or they do, but you got to search beyond belief. My eyesight's no longer that good. Yes?
What did Amazon deal with Georgia? What was the deal with Georgia?
There is no deal with Georgia. Why is there no deal with Georgia? Because Georgia hasn't assessed Amazon with a sales tax yet for online operations, online sales through affiliates. No. They're not. Georgia is not. Georgia is part of the state. Sales tax streamline project, but Georgia has not yet revised their sales tax laws to reflect what they're required to do. So they're a tier two member. A tier three member is I've joined, I've changed all my laws. Hi, don't you love me now?
So question, I know that in Europe with the VAT tax, for example, if you're proving that you're taking the goods out, you can actually get that VAT tax back.
Yeah.
Does that work for merchants who are ordering the material as well?
Okay, as an individual, if you go to Europe and you basically buy something, they have this cute little thing that you basically fill out a form and the country basically says, here, we'll give you the VAT tax back. You fall under an exemption. You get it back. We're not talking time. You're young. I'm old. You'll get it before I will. Trust me. Right. It takes 6 months, usually. All right. If you filled out the form right and you stapled all the receipts. As a business, Europe basically works on this. If basically I'm a European business and I buy lumber, I pay a VAT tax. I then take the lumber and make furniture. I sell that to a retailer. He pays VAT tax. But at a higher basis because I've added an incentive. That's why it's called VAT, value added tax. So therefore, I now have a VAT tax that I picked up from the retailer, and I paid the VAT tax on the lumber, and I only owe the difference, okay? If you are a commercial company in the United States and you go and buy a product in Europe and they charge you VAT tax, they're not giving the VAT tax back. They consider it normal business operation. From an individual perspective, yes, they will. As he said, yeah, and as you said, 6 months.
Georgia actually did pass a law last year, and today is the first day of collection for Amazon sales tax. But there wasn't a deal other than that, and I'm curious if you have any thoughts as to why Georgia isn't getting a distribution center, isn't getting jobs that a lot of these other states are getting.
Bad negotiators. Or there's two reasons. One is bad negotiations. The other is that Georgia basically could have had a fear that that when the law comes about, that they basically Amazon or Overstock was going to just pull all the operations out.
Overstock did cancel their affiliate relationship.
Right.
They did that last year.
As soon as
Amazon didn't for a year and a half.
So basically. Right, they bought a year and a half. They got a year and a half deferral. I mean, as I said, you know, Kentucky got two distribution centers. You know, maybe one of them was supposed to be for Georgia. You know, really, it Amazon as a whole, it's just based on negotiations and how strong the state feels. Actually, I didn't know that Georgia basically is doing that now.
It is the first
day of. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. You know.
Do you have any thoughts on what they might do?
Yeah, pretty well. Amazon has challenged the New York law, the statute. They just filed in the U.S. Supreme Court. I think that if they've lost every time going up through New York, they lost in federal court already. They're now in the Supreme Court. I think that if Amazon wins in the Supreme Court, you're going to see all these deals disappear, and they're not going to collect any sales tax. They're going to go back to saying, unless we have a distribution center in your state, we're not entitled to, we don't have to do anything.
So would that mean that they're trying not to add more distribution centers in these states where they make new agreements in the event that they're successful?
I think that they're adding distribution centers because it meets their business model of why they want to do it as a secondary or tertiary reason. They're going to go into the state and use that as a bargaining tool not to pay sales tax. But they're not building distribution centers just to get out of sales tax. They're building it because they have a business reason to build a distribution center here or in any state. You know, they're just using it as sugarcoating to the state, saying, you know, you have an issue, I have an issue. My business model says I can put it in Kentucky or I can put it in Georgia. Who's the first at the table? Any other questions? Yeah.
Real quick, what's the status in the Senate and
Marketplace Fairness Act? It's stalled. But I would still say to everybody here and everybody that you know, just send in a campaign and say, this is not fair. This is not fair to small business. This is a non-friendly Small Business Act. And all they're doing is basically the federal government's trying to take the initiative away from the states so that basically they say, oh, look, you know, we solved this problem. Well, this problem's been around for 20 years, you know, and they haven't solved it. Now they want to solve it. It's still contrary to small business attitude. You know, it's not a level playing field. All right. Let's see. I'm done.